The following hour is brought to you by MidasResources.com, your trusted source for precious metals since 1996. Call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237.
To consider the possibility that there could be additional cases, particularly among the healthcare workers who cared for the index patient when he was so ill. The enemy here is a virus, Ebola. It's not a person, it's not a country, it's not a place, it's not a hospital, it's a virus.
Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. I think you just heard there Dr. Tom Frieden from the CDC. And, of course, the latest buzz in my backyard, for sure, just 10 miles away, remember, from the Texas Presbyterian Hospital where Thomas Duncan died last week. And now you've got a 26-year-old nurse who treated him, who got a blood transfusion from Dr. Kent Brantley, who survived Ebola, those antibodies, so potent, to try to help her recover as she is in critical but stable condition. It's kind of how they describe it. And the blood transfusion has worked in the past. So that's where we start on our path here on America Tonight. For this hour anyway, coming up on the show, a conversation with two doctors. One doctor who was heavily involved in anthrax, Dr. Nass, and then the other doctor, Dr. Stone, who was actually there in Liberia and has talked to some of the survivors of Ebola and to many of the people in the area and has seen exactly what's happening and how frightened people are and how far the, how far this virus has spread and why it's spread the way that it has and how we should all be concerned what's going on in Africa because, as she puts it, if you're not concerned with what's happening in Ebola in Africa, if you want to shut things down, you got to be able to shut it down there. That's why they have curfews and checkpoints. But a lot of that is being violated because people are afraid and they're trying to get away. They're trying to get away as far away as they can. So she's an international medic, a public health expert, Dr. Stone, with extensive national and international experience, period, at all levels of this, and she was actually instrumental in helping that country, Liberia, even have its first national health policy, and they don't have great health care, and she saw it as having, they had nothing. So she got in there and did what she could do, and now she's seen it from a different perspective, too, in the sense that coming back from the epicenter of it, going into those communities, and then realizing that people feel like it's kind of eeny, meeny, miny, mo as to who's going to survive and who's not going to survive and how they're trying to educate the people to get them to immediately step forward instead of hide away when they start to develop any kind of the symptoms, the body aches, the headaches, any of that kind of stuff, which is one of the things that happened with this 26-year-old nurse. The second she realized she had a low-grade fever, immediately, okay, I'm going into isolation, you're testing my blood, and we're going from there. And this is a nurse who was raised in Texas, who was raised in a Vietnamese family in Fort Worth and graduated from school just in 2010, with a degree in nursing and has been on the staff and is one of those jump to it, up everybody the moment she can. And now you had hazmat chemical teams that spent the weekend fumigating her Dallas apartment. Plus she has this dog attached to, and they've quarantined the dog. So unlike in Spain where they killed the dog, this time they've quarantined the dog, which is kind of controversial with some people, because they think it's terrible and inhumane. It seems so awful to kill the dog. But what if the dog is carrying Ebola, which is likely that that's a possibility, and where will that spread because of that? But they're not doing that. So the latest is that she's gotten this transfusion, and they think that this is what's going to save her life. You know, it's kind of, I mean, it really is a 50-50 proposition, whereas in Africa, it's 70% are gone from Ebola. Some survive, but 70% that get it are dying. And here it's closer to, you know, you got a 50-50 chance, basically. Although that's not often voiced. That's what I was told by one medical expert today. And both of these people talk about different aspects of Ebola. Dr. Nass on why we're not really being told, and it's kind of a misnomer to say that it's not an airborne thing when you think of, I've talked about before, sneezing, a drop of sweat, something happens that comes off of something, and that is how you can easily transfer fluids or have something go sort of airborne and then attach itself, and unfortunately the rest is history. That's why 70 people, because of this nurse who cared for the patient, are being looked at for potential Ebola. And they got Ebola hospitals, they say, planned for every single state to try to avoid what could happen, to try to avoid the Ebola scare, that how quickly it could spread. And if it turns out that people have it, they have to have a place to immediately go and get themselves away from other people's, people rather. In fact, an airsick person on a flight from JFK really set off an Ebola scare in Los Angeles today at LAX, because as soon as a passenger saw that on the flight, they, at the airport, the passenger, I guess they thought, was showing symptoms of the Ebola virus and was actually being evaluated once they're on the ground for possible signs of it, you know, and this is could be how it spreads, which was my concern about having the open airways in the first place. Being in a confined place means you don't get fresh air, you're not being able to see outside, and you could get motion sickness. So it's because this is a man who had been to Liberia, went to the hospital complaining of headaches and muscle aches, you know, he's being evaluated. And these are the kinds of things that are happening. You got the Texas healthcare worker who tests positive, as I was just describing there. You have the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention confirming the positive test. It is the first known case of the disease being contracted or transmitted in the U.S., and she went through all the things that you're supposed to do, wore a gown, wore gloves, wore a mask, shield when she was caring for Thomas Duncan during his second visit to the hospital. And Liberia, as we know, is one of the three West African countries, the hot zone, most affected by the ongoing Ebola epidemic, which has killed now more than 4,000 people. These are statistics from the World Health Organization. I think it's going to be much higher than that by the end of October, beginning of November. So sit back, two different doctors talking about Ebola. You're going to be blown away, I promise you, by some of the information you hear next on America Tonight. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment periodic basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2233 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-297-0154. That's 800-297-0154.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
That's 800-297-0154.
So he's leaving the life he's come to know. Ooh.
He said he's going.
He said he's going back to find.
Going back to find.
Ooh, 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 what's left of the world.
I keep saying this, but it just gets bigger and bigger, and it's not fear-mongering, it's not people that are just in full-on panic mode because they're just panicked and they're believing crazy conjecture and conspiracy theory. No, 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 it's not about that. It's about, are we really being told the truth? As you know, our satellite facility where I am right now is 11 miles from the hospital where the nurse now is in that isolation area and being treated. She's in stable condition, and it was just a week ago that Thomas Duncan died, the man with Ebola who traveled to the U.S. from Liberia. There's so much to talk about, so many variables in this whole thing. And we are pleased to welcome to the show Dr. Merrill Nass. And I'll tell you, Dr. Nass certainly knows about this kind of stuff. She writes at the Anthrax Vaccine blog. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
What do you think the biggest thing is, that the biggest misconception that's floating around out there, that we're being sold, I guess, by the CDC?
Well, I think a big misconception is that we are prepared for this. I don't think we're prepared. In my lifetime, and I've been practicing medicine for 35 years, we've never seen anything like it before. We haven't seen a disease that has a 70% death rate in Africa, and it looks like it might be 50% even with pretty good treatment. We also only have 4 or 5 very high containment hospital labs in this country, at CDC, Rocky Mountain, Nebraska, NIH, and I think USAMRIID in Maryland have very high containment labs in a hospital setting. those places probably can really safely take care of Ebola patients. For the rest of the country, we're used to dealing with tuberculosis. That's what we consider, you know, a containment issue. And we've not seen anything like Ebola with a high death rate, and that seems to spread in ways that haven't even been well defined yet.
Wow, so scary. Four containment labs, you say, that can really, really handle this. And when you see that now the nurse that was being treated in the CDC saying, well, there must have been a break of protocol, and here in Dallas they're talking about other nurses are saying, well, there must have been something that wasn't followed. It's almost like they're just laying it all on this poor nurse, that she must have taken off her gloves. She must have accidentally rubbed her eye, and maybe she did. But it just shows you that Ebola is something that really is highly contagious. Am I right?
I think it's highly contagious, yeah. The number of cases that exist is doubling every 3 or 4 weeks, so that seems pretty contagious.
Do you think there's misconceptions about the way that you can get Ebola? Because that's the first thing we kept hearing. Don't worry, it's only through bodily fluids. We're doing this as a precaution. When they shut down Thomas Duncan's apartment, and initially they didn't scrub it with the hazmat stuff, then they ended up a couple days later with 141 bags, and they're following and monitoring the people and putting them pretty much in a lockdown situation, but originally they weren't. So, you know, that was what was kept, they kept saying is, well, don't worry, Dallas, don't worry the rest of the country, because it has to be bodily fluids. But I'd say on the show, Doc, that, you know, if you sneeze, what comes out with the sneeze? Are you getting everything in a handkerchief or in the tissue? No. And
exactly.
I think that's part of it. I think there's a misconception about what is bodily fluids and what is airborne. What do you think?
Well, I think you're exactly right. I mean, there's airborne and there's airborne. So an anthrax spore, which is practically indestructible, you throw it in the air and it can travel 50 or 100 miles, you know, temperature, drying, UV are not going to kill it. But it takes at least 50,000 spores in general to make a human sick. With Ebola, it's very sensitive to UV. It's sensitive to drying. It's easy to kill, but you only need 1 to 10 viral particles to get sick. You don't need 50,000. So a very minute amount. When you speak, little moist droplets, invisible droplets, come out of your mouth and enter a room that is compounded with coughing and sneezing. When you flush a toilet, if someone with Ebola has had diarrhea, you're going to aerosolize some viral particles in the air. They may remain suspended in these tiny moist droplets for an hour. They may land on a moist surface and be viable for several hours or a day. And we don't really know what percent of cases are transmitted in these ways, but we know it's possible. We'd like to believe that we can control everything with this high containment gear that people are using. But in general, they've not been using a self-contained breathing apparatus. So they are breathing in air from the room, and it's possible that's how the nurse got this infection. It's also possible putting on and off the hazmat suit transmitted, you know, 1 or 10 viral particles to her. The thing is that Médecins Sans Frontières, which MSF, or Doctors Without Borders, has had at least 15 of their workers, and this is including doctors and nurses from the West, come down with Ebola despite wearing maximal protective equipment, even more than what was used at the hospital in Dallas. Now, 15 is not a big number. They have now 3,000 people on the ground. But it means that with the maximal protection that we know how to do, and CDC is recommending the MSF protocol now, or more of it, where some healthcare workers are still getting sick. So until the means by which this virus is being transmitted have been fully elucidated, people can't really let their guard down and assume that everything's just going to be all right if we do what we do for tuberculosis, because that is not the case.
We're speaking with Dr. Meryl Ness, and we're talking about Ebola, obviously. And Doc, and you said this, you know, that you've been practicing medicine for 30-some years, and you know, you've never seen anything like this. Well, what do you think people should do? Should they arm themselves with the facts? You know, what should Americans do who are listening to this in all the nooks and crannies? Because there's people listening to us in Texas. There's people listening to us in New Jersey and Iowa and Florida. What's the smart play here?
Well, one thing to remember is that medical facilities became places where Ebola spread. So if a patient with Ebola comes to a hospital, they don't know they have Ebola. They're sitting in the waiting room. Other people may be affected by this. The staff in the hospital doesn't know they have Ebola until they have a positive test from CDC. You've got to be sick at least 3 days before that particular test is likely to show a true positive. So the hospital or the clinic is going to have trouble figuring out who has Ebola and who doesn't and separating the patients appropriately, you know, at the from the moment they come into the facility. So Africans have had to stay away from hospitals and clinics to avoid getting Ebola, and that means they are not getting care for malaria and for childbirth and things like that. Americans, if they do need to go to hospitals, are going to have to be very careful. So maybe it will be, not now, but in the future, may make sense to wear gloves, might make sense to use a mask, depending how this, you know, evolves. But the most important thing is that to control the cases here in the U.S., we have to control them in Africa. Because if this spreads throughout Africa and beyond, there are going to be more and more cases in the U.S.
Yeah, well said. Do you think, you know, there's been some debate over shutting down travel? Other African countries are doing that. You know, in other words, in Kenya and whatnot, they're saying, no, we're not going to take any flights in from West Africa. British Airways did that. And some are saying, and the reason why we're not doing it, the administration is saying, because that would shut down the way for the workers to get there and whatnot. But I would argue that the workers are coming in through the government anyway. We certainly have giant planes, cargo planes, where we could take people over. Would it be safer to not even worry, to just temporarily halt this until the problem is solved in West Africa?
Certainly, you could have a 21-day quarantine for people, either at this end or that end, to prevent people bringing it into the country. But there will probably still be some people who bring it in inadvertently. You know, we're assuming that 21 days is an adequate quarantine, but it turns out that a man can pass live virus in semen for up to 3 months.
Wow.
If he recovers. Women can pass it in breast milk for more than a month. So the 21 days is not a perfect number either.
All right, so there's a lot, like I said at the top, there's a lot of variables still at play. Dr. Nass, thanks for joining us on America Tonight. Very enlightening. We appreciate your time.
Thank you very much. Good night.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
If you need to say happy birthday, happy anniversary, thank you, or simply, I'm thinking of you, ProFlowers.com is the key. ProFlowers has stunning bouquets, like the best-selling 100 blooms for $19.99. Plus, ProFlowers will include a glass vase for free. Sending someone a wonderful surprise of beautiful flowers sent fresh from the field is easy. Choose the bouquet you like, pick the delivery date, and each order is 100% guaranteed. Plus, all bouquets from ProFlowers are guaranteed to last at least 7 full days. Beautiful, fragrant flowers, picked fresh and sent to your loved one for lasting enjoyment. To get this incredible savings and send someone 100 gorgeous blooms with a free vase for $19.99, go to ProFlowers.com. Click the blue microphone in the top right corner and enter code PLOW. That's ProFlowers.com. Click the mic and enter code PLOW.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM-1 from Terriganics. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM-1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM-1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganix.com, spelled TERRAGANIX.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM-1 from Terraganix. Life's getting better.
At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can now purchase a one-of-a-kind product not available anywhere else, a meatless burger dry mix in 4 delicious flavors. With our new Oregon Trail Foods vegan burgers, all you do is add water and fry. They need no refrigeration. They're packaged in Mylar bags with an oxygen absorber for a long shelf life. They're non-GMO. They're gluten, soy, nut, and chemical-free, but they're loaded with flavor and a good source of carbs and protein, yet low in sodium. Flavors include Italian, spicy Mexican, 6 vegetable, and black bean olive. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com or call 541-229-0010 and order today. Eat them every day, take them camping, or save them for an emergency. Check them out at 30dayfoodsupply.com and click on the vegan burger icon. That's 30dayfoodsupply.com, where all of our products are produced in Oregon by Oregon Trail Foods. 30dayfoodsupply.com.
Welcome back to America Tonight. Very pleased to welcome to the show Dr. Mardia Stone, who is an international health expert who just actually came back from Liberia working with the government at the epicenter of this deadly epidemic that we've been talking about, and concerned about what's happening here in the U.S. and concerned about what's happening, obviously, over in Liberia and what's going on with the experimental drug ZMapp and producing that. And she's got quite a story to tell. Dr. Stone, thanks for coming on with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
So you were there, and you went into communities that were quarantined because of Ebola. And you met with 80 Ebola survivors who didn't get that ZMapp. What did they tell you? How did they survive this?
Well, I didn't meet with 80 people altogether. There are over 100 people now who actually survived Ebola. But basically, most of them, when they became ill, showed up at the treatment center early enough to get the kind of care that they needed, because, the treatment for, there's no cure for Ebola, but the treatment is individualized because it depends on what kind of symptoms you're manifesting. So if you have a high fever, they treat that. If you're vomiting, they treat that. Whatever your symptoms are is what they treat. And the earlier you get there, the better it is. So they, literally described what happened, how they felt, mostly starting off with a high fever that was unrelenting and perspiring profusely and having a very, very severe headache. So most of them started with that kind of symptom.
Wow.
People were just terrified, really terrified about catching Ebola, because you don't know who has it. and from that it can be exposed and manifest the disease at any moment, and you don't know who has it. So people are really terrified.
How are the families dealing with the devastating diagnosis when you said they're terrified of Ebola because they see how many people aren't surviving from this? What did you see among those who were survivors?
Well, one of the things, a lot of them were concerned about stigmatization because people really, even though they were tested negative for Ebola before they left the hospital, people were just afraid to be around them. And a lot of them, their families didn't even want them to come back home. You know, so they had this kind of stigmatization and discrimination against them. And for them, it was like, you know, you survived Ebola, but yet and still, people are not embracing. You know, they're not happy that you survived. They're just terrified of you coming in their midst. And so that's one of the things that survivors were experiencing. I talked to one of them a few days ago in Liberia, and he was saying that the stigmatization problem it has not changed. People are still afraid of people who have survived, and people really still don't want to be around people who have survived because they don't believe that, you know, you're actually well, completely well, and that at any given moment you may reinfect them. I mean, you may infect them because you could become reinfected, which is not so because, you know, people who survive have developed antibodies that protect them against secondary infections with Ebola. So once you have survived, you know, your likelihood of getting Ebola again is very, 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 very slim to none.
Yeah, Dr. Stone, is this why they're treating the one nurse in Dallas with somebody who survived Ebola with the blood from that patient because of the antibodies, I suppose? Is that the reason why?
Right. Yes, that's the reason why. Because, you know, the first people who did this kind of experiment was way back in 1976. The Africans in Zaire at that time, people were dying so quickly. And for those who survived, they decided to transfuse the blood of people who had survived in those that manifested the signs and symptoms of Ebola. And it worked. And Western physicians and scientists were telling them, don't do this, don't do that. It's not going to work. But it worked. And so this is why now, you know, they can actually save more lives by transfusing blood into people.
Yeah. The ZMAP, in talking about people who survived without getting the ZMAP, and now there is the crush of scientists who are using other experimental drugs and trying to produce the company producing the ZMAP. And yet some people will say, well, the ZMAP is, we don't know for sure, but it seems as though the few doses that were there helped the people. Tell us about ZMAP and what you think its effectiveness is.
Well, one really does not know whether those who survived actually survived because of ZMAP. Because, for example, with Ken Brantley, he was having supportive care before he got the ZMAP. But my understanding is that, you know, from what the story he tells is that from the minute he got the ZMAP, he could literally feel the difference in his recovery. So it's possible that it worked, but it's possible also that all of the other care he was getting, the hydration, treating every symptom that he had, probably is what saved him as well. Because, you know, there are over 100 people who did not have ZMAP, who didn't have any experimental anything, and they survived because they got to the treatment center early enough that they were given the supportive treatment that kept them alive. So the key is get to the center early enough, get to the treatment facility early enough, get to the hospital early enough if you start manifesting symptoms, because the sooner you get there and the sooner they start treating your symptoms, the more likely you are to survive.
Yeah. Dr. Stone, you were, as I mentioned at the top, obviously you were in Liberia. You're an international health expert. And you've been in epidemic spots before, I suppose. Did you, you know, with now we're talking about what you're supposed to wear and the CDC saying the nurse must have somehow messed up because there's just no way with all the gear and the protective gear that she would have caught Ebola. But is that true? Because isn't there little things that could happen where you don't realize what you've done, even in just touching your eye or something, I guess?
Yes. One of the critical things about the protective gear is that, you know, you're protecting yourself when you go into an area where somebody is acutely ill with Ebola. But the critical thing is taking it off, because most of the people who have gotten infected, who had protective gear on, got infected in the process of taking it off. And the reason for that is because, you know, the when you're in close proximity to an infected person, the virus may get on your protective gear. So when you go to take it off, usually, at least in Liberia, they spray you with a highly concentrated chlorinated solution. You know, they spray all over you with this stuff, and then you take it off, because you can touch the garment as you take it off and not realize that you have touched some area where some kind of infective fluid was. And, you know, you go to touch it, you take it off and you go to touch yourself, and you may touch your eye, touch your ear, touch your nose, or touch some part of your body, not realizing that you may have some small amount of this thing on your body, and then you get infected. So it is the taking it off, which is specific. You've got to take it off in such a way that you don't touch any part of your body as you're taking this thing off. And then, of course, it's discarded after you take it off. So yes, indeed, people get infected because they don't take off the garment properly.
Mm. What was the toughest thing about this whole latest trip for you, and seeing the devastation and, as you said, the stigmatism that people were feeling? What was the hardest thing about this?
Well, the thing was that it is a change in lifestyle, a change in the way people relate to each other. Liberians are people who love to embrace and touch each other. And the public health message is don't touch, don't hug, don't shake hands, you know. And so people are keeping their distance. People aren't visiting their friends. And it's like a whole new way of living. And then you don't know who may have it. So, you know, everybody is suspect. So everybody is sort of on guard, you know, 24 hours of the day. And so it makes it a very tense way to live. And so, it's intense. It's a very intense environment to be in at this point in time.
Dr. Stone, do you feel confident that with all the people that are helping and trying to get rid of, stomp out Ebola in West Africa, do you feel confident that we'll be able to get this under control?
Well, yes, I feel confident that you can get it under control. But the people have to help themselves. You know, for example, the epidemic in West Africa started in Guinea. Guinea now has the fewest number of cases. And, you know, they're containing the transmission of the virus more effectively than they are in Liberia. Liberia, where the transmission occurred from Guinea, has almost triple the number of cases that you have in Guinea. And the reason, I believe, is because the people in Liberia are not really listening to the public health messages. And if they are hearing those messages, they are not applying everything that they're being asked to do. For example, the dead body of an Ebola-infected person is equally infectious as the live person. And people are being told, do not touch anybody who is dead, you know, because you can get infected. But because of the traditions and the rituals, the traditional rituals surrounding burial, people in villages and towns are still trying to bury the dead.
Wow. Dr. Stone, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight.
Thank you.
We all have our own idea about what being safe and secure means. The door's locked, bills are paid, you've got a job that keeps the lights on, and a home to call your own. But what happens when Mother Nature throws a curveball?
I'm telling you, take cover.
Are you prepared to live without electricity or passable roads for weeks at a time? Do you even have a plan B? If you do, are you willing to bet your life on it?
Children left with no homes.
And no one's coming to help them. Help
the first step towards self-reliance in the face of disaster is a visit to MyPatriotSupply.com. There you'll find the absolute best prices on storable foods, non-GMO seeds, emergency water filtration devices, and so much more. All orders over $49 qualify for free shipping in the lower 48 states. Call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. And speak to one of our preparedness advisors today, or visit us at MyPatriotSupply.com. Remember, before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Virtually anyone can hack your cell phone and track your calls, your texts, your emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal. Stay one step ahead of hackers and Big Brother with a Blockit Pocket, a custom-made pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday enclosure for your cell phone. For free shipping to the lower 48, visit BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com. Enhancing health and privacy.
Hi, I'm Sam Nussbaum, WellPoint's Chief Medical Officer. We proudly support the March of Dimes mission to improve the health of babies and fight premature birth. We're helping the March of Dimes fund breakthroughs in research and community programs that help more moms have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Join us in working together to provide children with a healthier start in life. Visit marchofdimes.org.
A couple turns left for this hour of America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. A couple of quick reminders. Don't forget about Nail the Score, Wednesday into Thursday show, last segment of the second hour. This time around, nobody nailed the score, although a couple of people came close, but close doesn't count. Stacy said the Cowboys would win 31-28. In the end, the Cowboys did win 30-23. How about that? They beat the Seahawks. Who knows what the game of the week will be? If you don't like football, think of it as playing a game. It's like paying a buck to rear back your arm and throw it at those balls that are piled up on the milk jug. You know, when you go to like a fair or the boardwalk, in my case, wherever it is. It's the same principle. All you have to do is call up and say who you think's going to win and what the score is going to be, and you are taking a guess. Even if you were incredibly knowledgeable or thought you were very knowledgeable when it came to the matchups in the NFL, sometimes you have to just throw all that analysis out the window. So it's time now for another edition of Old School versus New School. Matt Johnson is now ushered into the studio. Matt, are you there?
I am here.
Because I know you're running around upstairs on a wireless somewhere at the plush center that you're in Minnesota, right?
Oh, very plush.
Okay, so our first one, and I think all of you can relate out there, plain old potato chips. I mean, you used to just get potato chips. Maybe they didn't have a ridge in them, or they were just, you know, so they would just be round potato chips. But there's basically two kinds. Now you have any kind of potato chip that you can imagine. They have gourmet potato chips. Forget just sour cream and onion. It's even beyond that. It's beyond barbecue and all the different flavors that you can have. You can have baked potato chips, and the baked potato chips have flavors on them, too. So are you a plain old potato chip guy, old school or new school?
I don't eat a lot of those, to be honest with you, so I'm kind of indifferent about it, but I think that probably new flavors are a little more intriguing.
Indifferent about potato chips. You are un-American, so I'm going to say that gourmet potato chips rule because you can get any flavor you want. Now, who knows what that's doing to our bodies, and I do agree that it's probably not good to eat a ton of potato chips. So personally, I don't try to eat a lot of potato chips either, but if I was going to have potato chips, it would probably be with some kind of flavor. There would be some kind of flavor on them. All right, how about this? Spaghetti and meatballs, plain old school spaghetti and meatballs versus fancy pasta like sausage and pesto penne, for example, bolognese sauce, lemon pasta with chicken, vodka cream pasta. I mean, it is endless what they can do with pasta. Are you a fancy pasta guy, new school or old school?
Well, I think it's becoming more popular. I don't necessarily think it's new, though, because there's people been doing these recipes for a while, but I would definitely say the new branching out into different things.
You know, I like the branching out into different things, but I'm an old school person. I like, except for that, I like thin angel hair. I don't like thick giant spaghetti, but I like angel hair and just meatballs. My favorite thing my grandmother made, she had this awesome recipe to be cooking all day long, was the meatballs from scratch, which was passed on to me. So I like it old style. Except for that, because I'm picky about that, I like to have my own spaghetti and meatballs. I don't like to go anyplace else and get it. But I think some of the other stuff is pretty good, but I'm definitely old school. All right, this is one that some of you can relate to. You go to buy a bike now, and there's so many varieties of bikes and the expense of these bikes, too. It is pretty cool, some of the different types of bikes that you can buy. So you have, like, you know, it used to be you just got a bicycle. It was like a Schwinn. Everybody had seemed to have a Schwinn. Now you can have a Paraghetti, a Panarella, or some other expensive bike, and maybe even something in between. Even the cruisers are souped up now. So, Matt, are you old school bike or new school?
I just have like a regular mountain bike, which I don't know if that is old or new or in your system or what it is. But
in
I definitely,
your system.
Well, I don't. I had to Google what the two bikes that you just named were because I had no idea what that was. I thought maybe you were talking about the three-wheel trikes that are getting popular these days. So I guess just a more traditional mountain bike.
Yeah, I'm more traditional mountain bike person, too. In my house, we have about 7 bikes, and they are some of those exotic names, and I have no idea what the difference is, except for that my husband was really into biking, so it means that we have bikes hanging up on the ceiling in the garage of different varieties. So they have, you know, they go faster. I mean, some of them have different kinds of gears. It's crazy. But then they have those tiny, skinny tires. That's why I like the old school mountain bikes. I just like thick tires. Although I do like to have some gears on the mountain bike and not just have no gears, because I've done that before. It's a great workout, but you can't keep up with everybody because they have all the expensive bikes with the 10,000 gears. How about this? A Twinkie or just original old cupcake versus the fancy $10 cupcakes, which I can't even believe it, but they do sell cupcakes for like $10. Like a chocolate peanut butter cupcake, or they have other kinds of cupcakes layered with all kinds of fillings in between. They have people that are making a massive living, Matt, off of cupcake specialty shops, and they're everywhere. I think in almost every city in the United States, you can find one of those gourmet cupcake places.
I'm not a big sweets person, and so I'm more of a pie person if I had to do anything rather than cake or whatever, but I do think that Twinkies are gross, so I would go with the more gourmet style, especially since I know someone who makes those, so I'll err on that side.
the person you know making them, are they doing pretty good with their gourmet cupcakes?
It's a side business, but it's going pretty well.
I'm with you. Twinkies are crappy. I wouldn't eat a Twinkie. And I'm not a sweet. It's funny. We have that in common. I am not a huge sweet person either. I mean, I'm more, my Achilles heel, if it would be with food, would be like, you know, something salty or that kind of stuff versus eating some kind of cupcake or sweet or whatever. But if I was going to, that's funny that you say that about pies, I would be the same way too. I would just rather have a slice of pie, like at Thanksgiving, a pumpkin pie or just a plain old apple pie to me would be great. So I agree
yeah,
with you.
That's definitely where I fall too. Like, I don't know. I'm not, like, even on a birthday or something, I would rather have a pie than a cake.
Yeah, me too. Your good pal Jack from Down Under says, Matt, you Philistine. So he says, Twinkie, Twinkie, Twinkie. When I think of Twinkies, I just think, oh, my gosh. I mean, how bad are they for you? I just think processed. Just
extremely processed. And I mean, I don't think anybody's ever figured out what's really in them. And
no.
Something that supposedly can last a really long time like that, I don't trust it.
No, you know, that's kind of the problem with, remember Morgan Spurlock's movie that he did, which launched his career, where he did the whole thing where he was eating the McDonald's hamburgers.
Right. Supersize Me.
Yeah, Supersize Me. And that was scary if you really watch that. The, you know, who doesn't every once in a while have an Achilles heel for French fries? But, oh my gosh, French fries can be, I mean, they're like petrified forests. They can last forever, French fries, and that's scary. Because then what's put in it? What's put in those French fries that they last so long?
There's also a video that you can check out, and surprisingly, McDonald's put it out there because of the rumors of what happened with their chicken nuggets. But after watching it, it made me like them even less than I already did. I don't know. The way they make it into this paste, and I don't know. You'll have to check it out. It's not appetizing.
I'll have to watch that. And finally, magnetic football, the old school magnetic football game versus Madden football or some other video.
I would definitely go the new school route on that. I just, the magnetic football, that was before my time, but I can't find that super entertaining.
Where you had little guys that had to go.
You didn't have any control over it.
My brother and I used to play that. Yeah, you didn't have any control. The thing with the video now is you got to really have patience and learn how to play it correctly so that you can be a superstar and know what you're doing, not just grab the controls.
And the new thing now, too, is I've done it, and I know my younger cousins and nephews have done it, too, where it's FIFA is the game that everyone's playing because it's different than Madden where it's just more fluid because soccer, you know, doesn't have any timeouts. You don't have to pick new plays. And so more and more kids are playing that video game, adults too, in their 20s.
How about that? FIFA. A big tip from Matt. I didn't realize that. Yep, soccer is bigger and bigger. And especially, like you said, you're going to have to take those timeouts. All right, old school, new school. We'll do it again next week. Thanks for listening to this hour of America Tonight.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283 or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.